Foster, as you know, is taking a mission up in Macrofat with the youth of the denomination. So we're very pleased to have visiting preacher tonight, the Reverend Ivor Cartwright, all the way from Portadown. I reminded our brother that he was here quite some time ago, and he says, that's a long time ago, but so it was. I can't remember when, but that's the last time I remember him. Well, again, thanks for coming. You're very welcome, brother. He's here at very, very short notice. I asked him, and he said 1 or 2 o'clock. That was this afternoon. So very welcome indeed, brother. Don't forget now, our next meeting in the church is this Friday coming. The children's meeting, and after the children's meeting, there is a new venture which we're having in way of a quiz. I'm not too sure what the format of it is, but you can be sure there'll be some questions, and as long as it's not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, I don't mind. You'll not be getting £1 million anyway. And, of course, the next Sabbath service is at 11:30 and 7 p.m., preceded by the times of prayer, and the Reverend Foster will be with us then. That's all the announcements I want to make. Look forward to seeing everyone on Friday. And I'll let our brother loose. We'll thank him for coming once again. Thank you.
Well, my thanks to our brother for the warm words of welcome. Indeed, it is a long time since I have been here. It's 20 plus years, I would say. Maybe not quite that long. I see some people looking very confused there, but it's definitely over 10, definitely over 10 years, I think, since I was here. But now, your minister, he gave me a call this afternoon then, just if I would come and if I would take the prayer meeting, so I was delighted to be able to do that. And I understand that some people use hymn books, perhaps some don't, but I asked him just to select a hymn. I believe it's What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Do you know the number of that? 625. Hymn number 625. So we will stand to sing, and it should be on the screen. So we want everyone to sing out their very best. Don't be shy or bashful, but just sing out and sing unto the Lord, please.
Friends so faithful, who will our sorrows share.
Amen. And it is good to have that friend in Jesus, that friend who sticketh closer than her brother. Let us unite together for prayer, please. Eternal God and our Father who dwelleth in light unapproachable and full of glory, we bow in thy presence with deep humility, in reverence and with godly fear. And we recognize that we do have one in glory who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. We have one who loves us with an everlasting love. And we are led by grace that love to know, Spirit breathing from above, thou hast taught us it is so. We thank thee, Lord, for the return of the midweek prayer meeting. We thank thee, Father, for the opportunity we have even tonight to present before thy children the unsearchable riches through the word of God. And we pray that thou wilt grant that thy word will fall as sweet-smelling myrrh, as dew upon the fresh mown grass. We ask that we might hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we might draw in to our bodies through our nostrils the preciousness of thy word. And through our ears may we listen, may we hearken to the voice of God. May you speak to us and speak through us. May you undertake for us. Lord, thou knowest the hastiness from life from which we have come. Thou knowest the busyness. And Lord, with thee nothing is hidden from thy sight. You know the cares that we carry. You know the burdens that distress us and alarm us. But Lord, thou art one who loves us, and one who is acquainted with all of our grief. One who can take the word and apply the word with wisdom, with power. And we pray to thee, the blessed third person of the Trinity, that thou would write thy word indelibly upon our hearts. We are here, Lord, to be spoken to by thee, not from the lips of a preacher, but from the word of God. And we pray that thou would dispel every straying and wandering thought, that thou will put it to flight, that thou will close us in with thyself, that thou would renew hearts and strengthen souls, and grant, Lord, that we might be like the eagle that would rise up with wings as an eagle, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Lord, all too often we're running hither and thither, and we feel as though we're fainting. We feel as though we're weak. But Lord, we pray that thou wilt search our hearts, and in searching our hearts, that thou wilt draw us aside and care for us. And we know that thou dost care for us. We know that not only because thy word tells us, but because our very lives demonstrate it. As we look back down the corridors of time, in the hours, in the weeks, in the years that have passed, we can say that God has been good to our soul. God has been good to our lives. God has helped us. God has strengthened us. God has imparted to us wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And Father, for the gift of thy salvation, to thee we raise our Ebenezers and we say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We thank thee that we are clothed with the immortal robes of his righteousness, that we are thy children, born of thy spirit, washed in thy blood. And Father, we ask that as our faces differ and as our needs differ, so Lord, that you will meet us. Meet us just now at the very point of our need. Remember the session of this church, the elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, every children's worker. And Father, as we gather to pray, as we gather to seek thy face,
Lord, we ask that Thou will give us times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Grant us a holy boldness. Grant us the faith that can remove the mountains and throw them to the depths of the sea. Hear us, Lord. Hear us this night. Remember Thy servant who is taking up Thy word in Maharafelt. Do undertake for him. We pray, Lord, for missions that are being convened at this time, that are ongoing, and that as Thy word is faithfully proclaimed, there we ask of Thee that Thou will attend to it with the salvation of many precious souls. Father, we have all loved ones that are out of Christ without a Saviour. And we pray that Thou will draw them with the cords of Calvary love. Thank You, Father, for souls that You have saved. Even within our own family circle, souls that have been prayed for such a long time. How good is the God we adore. Ever faithful. A friend who sticketh closer than a brother. As that hymn has reminded us, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to Him in prayer. Be near to those that are sorrowing. And again, we would remember the royal family at this time. We pray, dear Lord, we thank Thee for the service of our late monarch. We thank Thee for the years that Thou hast given to her and to us, her loyal subjects. And Father, we pray for King Charles. Despite our fears and reservations, we ask, most gracious God, that thou wilt make him to be a man who will do something for God in his time and his day and in his generation. However short his life and reign might be, Lord, that he will do something to the glory of God. Father, hear us. And we think of, even in Lurgan tonight, that we think of that family, the McKinley family, and David and the wider family circle. Draw near, dear Lord, especially to those that are grieving at this time. Comfort them, we pray of Thee, in our Saviour's name. Amen and amen. Well, can you take your Bible, please, and turn with me to the book of the Psalms. Psalm number 42. It is a wonderful, wonderful psalm. I preached from this psalm quite a number of years ago along the theme of depression. And it is amazing just what is contained within the pages of this chapter. Psalm 42. It's a short psalm. We'll read it all together. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is Thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast out, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. We'll end the reading there. We do know that the Lord's blessing will follow to our hearts for his name's sake. It's the verse 1 that I want to leave before you. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. And may the Lord bless again this reading and the thoughts that I now want to express to you. May the Lord bless that to each one of our hearts. One commentator described this psalm as the psalm of the sinking saint. It has been so described as we discover David seemingly at the lowest point in his life. It is believed that he was 56 years of age at the time of writing. His son by the name of Absalom was 24, roughly, at this point in time. And what his son Absalom did plunged David into utter, total despair. Now, David was often disappointed in people. We read that from his many writings. Of course, you can think of Ahithophel. And you can think of the disappointment that he became to David. But little compared to what Absalom, the usurper, did. We could say of Absalom that he became a traitor. The greatest traitor that David ever knew was his own son. David was mentally plunged into a valley. We could describe that as the valley of valleys. But oh, how David loved his son Absalom. You'll remember, even when news of the death of Absalom came to David, that he wept. And he said, oh, Absalom, my son, my son. How he loved him. You know, as Christians, frequently, we can fall upon hard times. There are times in the Christian experience when you can feel low, discouraged. It sets in. It sets into us all at times. Every single one of us, the young, the old, it matters not. We course a path through rugged landscapes with every wickedness and evil nipping at our heels. And thinking of Absalom and his betrayal, doesn't it remind us of the betrayal of Judas Iscariot? You'll recall those prophetic words spoken. Yea, my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Believer, in life there are many pitfalls by the way, much to get us down. But we are encouraged to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We are encouraged to arise like the phoenix from the ashes. David was no stranger to having to encourage himself in the Lord. And David here, within the context of this psalm, is stirring himself up He is spurring himself on. He is looking at nature. And from nature, he is seeking to draw encouragement. Now, when you look at this psalm, Psalm 42, the language employed in Psalm 42 illustrates for us the stag or the deer in the verse 1. And when it is hunted, it does the most natural thing in the world. It seeks out a channel of water, a river into which it will plunge. Perhaps hoping to throw off the scent which inevitably would waylay the hunter, or merely to quench its thirst from the speed and the haste of its flight. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now the writer David was aware of this knowledge, being acquainted with the field. You'll remember that it is said of him in 1 Samuel 26 in the verse 20 about a hunter pursuing a partridge. And if you know anything of wildfowl and the partridge, you will know that it never goes very far away. It rises in flight if it's shot at, and they descend on the far side of the next hedge, and so on and so forth. And David here, he is drawing from the field, from nature. And by drawing and employing this similitude, a comparison is being highlighted. David suggests that similarly, through all of the turmoil of life, his soul resorts to the fountainhead of all goodness. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God. For a few moments tonight, I want us to consider the soul's deep, insatiable thirst for God's presence. There are two thoughts or two points that I want to leave before you. Firstly, David's dilemma. And that can be seen in the difficulties that he faced. Now let us be clear. Man needs God. Doesn't matter what man thinks he needs. Man needs God. Men are created in the image of God. And as such, we feel for God. From the consciousness of the mind to the sensitivity of the heart, we crave more for God than we really know or perhaps even care to acknowledge. Look what he says in verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now here he's reflecting. And what amazing reflections there are in these following verses. Of course, we have had similar experiences with David. You know, when a person loses a sense of the presence or the power or the preserving grace of the Lord, If we had all sensed the loss of that, God's good hand that rested upon us, been deprived of it, what a great loss that is. Now these words convey the emotions of a man who is detached from God. We have to understand that at this time, at this point in time, the sweet psalmist of Israel was exiled. He wasn't living at home in Jerusalem. He was exiled. He was debarred from public ordinances. Here was a man who was estranged from communing with God and worshipping in the city of David. And he felt that. He says in the verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? How often the world in sarcasm says to us, where is thy God? Where is this God you speak of? Who can divide the waters of the Red Sea? Who can save his servants from the mouth of lions? Where is this God? Is it not true today that perhaps we keenly sense the loss of the presence of God? Of his power? We're not living in days of blessing. Oh yes, there are the odd souls that have been saved here and there, but we're not in revival. When you read on through this psalm, you discover the language of David. Indeed, if you were to turn to Psalm 84, I'm not going to turn to that, but read verses 1 and 2. And read the last four verses of the chapter. You will see again similar language to what he uses here. Believer, though we might feel that we are left alone, though we might feel the loss of the Lord's presence, we are never alone. Yes, at times there may be that thought that we lose the sense of the Lord's presence, but you never lose the Lord's person. This world can take everything from us. They can strip us of everything. But one thing the world cannot take from us is our faith, our hope, and our trust in God. Do not the scriptures remind us, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Why? Because our names are written. They're engraved upon the palms of his hands. He cannot forget us. It is certainly so that the saint is never alone. God is omnipresent. Jesus Christ died, he rose and ascended into heaven, and he told his disciples that this would be good for them. They didn't want to see him going away. They wanted his companionship, his fellowship, to hear his teaching. But he said it would be good. Read John 16, and there you will read of the Comforter. And that's true of every believer. As it is said in Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. David's dilemma. We can see that he's reflecting in the verse 3. But when you look in verse 4, there are recollections. Yes, David encountered a dilemma in his life. He wanted to see the face of God. That's clear from the verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now the word appear, it means to be seen. To present oneself before. Indeed, the word before, it actually means in the face of. That's what it suggests in the Hebrew, in the very face of God. David yearned for the Lord's presence. He yearned for it. Do we long, do we yearn for the presence of God? In such a sense? You know, it's usually when we are deprived of something, it is only then that we truly begin to search after it. Do you remember the Shulamite? When her beloved came and he put his hand through the lattice in the door, she was moved. The scriptures tell us that. She was moved. But she didn't move herself. She didn't go to open the door and to let him in. And we know from the narrative that, what did he do? The beloved, he withdrew. And it was then that we have the love story. And how that she went seeking her beloved. Do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to lose something before we really appreciate it. You know, as a church, are we in danger of losing privileges that we have taken for granted for years? We've come through a virus, a pandemic. We were locked in. We were like David in a sense. We were exiled, estranged from God, so to speak. We couldn't come to the place of public worship. Did our bowels move within us for the presence of God? Did we really long for God as we ought? Or were we just content to watch different services on Facebook, on the internet? The scriptures here tell us that David seems to have lost something. And he's reflecting. In verse 4, what does he say? When I remember these things. Do you see he's reflecting? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. He's reflecting, he's looking back. He remembered happy days in God's presence, in God's house. He remembered holy days. You know, isn't it true? Sometimes preachers, they will, those that can remember that is far enough back, they remember the early days of the church and they will harp back to the early days of times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. When souls were being saved left, right and center. I'm sure you can remember happy days in church when souls were being saved. You remember going to conventions when there was a stir, when there was a moving, as it were, a going on the top of the mulberry trees. You sensed the presence of God. No doubt, secretly within your hearts, you've longed for those days. Well, you can understand David remembering. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. David's dilemma. But then secondly, David's delight. And that is seen through the desire that he expressed. David vividly describes his eagerness for a restoring of these former things. And he does so illustratively in the verses of our text, verses 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? There you have the subject of his devotion. What was the subject of his devotion? Who was the subject of his devotion? It was the Lord. It wasn't the fellowship with the saints. It wasn't the fellowship with the believers. It was the Lord. My soul thirsteth for God. What is your soul thirsting for today? For God. But read on, it's for the living God. In contradistinction to the false deities that were all around him at that time. You know, today when coming to our God, we come before the face or into the presence of a God who is living. That's something to shout and to sing about. Our God's alive. He's a living creator. He's not a God of wood or stone. He's not deaf to our voice, the voice of our supplication. He's alive. He breathes and lives. He hears and he answers prayer. He's a God who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Notice the change of terminology in the verse 6. Oh, my God. My God. He's our God. Each and every one of us can say that. That's why we're here. Yes, to fellowship the one with the other. But ultimately, to meet with God. The subject of his devotion, the scope of his desire. How great or how strong, how intense was his desire. He reveals to us how he cries. He uses a word signifying to cry. The word panteth. It's, if you come from a farming background, and I know some of you do. I know some of you come from a dairy background, but it's not the dairy that I have in mind. It's a suckling herd. And if you know anything of calves when they have sucked a cow for, let's say, 6 months or a year, and it comes to wean, it's not an easy task. There's bawing, there's bellowing, and you have to keep them separated, and you nearly need to keep them in the shed because otherwise they jump out. I think that's a good pictorial vision for you to imagine in your mind as to what David is conveying, how that he is thirsting for God. He's crying for God. He's panting for God. There is a longing in his heart. In Joel 1 and verse 20, we read, the beasts of the field cry also unto thee, for the rivers of waters are dried out up, and the fire hath devoured the pastures of the wilderness. They're crying to God for water. Like the hunted deer, the hind or the hart seeking water. In a dry or a parched land, when she sensed the precious current flowing beneath the rock, she hears its rippling flow beneath her feet. She agonizes for that inaccessible draught. She cries, but she is unable to partake. You can understand her pain. You can feel her anguish. Such a vivid picture of David thirsting for God is portrayed before us. I'll use another illustration. It's found during the American Civil War. Both sides, the North and the South, have lined up in their respective ranks, facing the one the other. There has been a skirmish and there are men that are lying wounded in the middle. A wounded soldier is lying there. He's hurting, he's bleeding, and he's crying for water. There is gunfire over his head.
Is the shoot the one or the other? Constantly that cry for water continues. Until at last, a Yankee captain, he says, I'm going to give that southern boy a drink of water. And as he's about to drop his weapon, the soldiers, his fellow compatriots say to him, don't, you'll be killed. And he says, no, I must. I can't bear it any longer. And he drops his rifle and he lifts the canteen and he holds it up. And he begins to walk towards that wounded soldier and towards the cry. All shooting cease. As he draws near and he bends down, he removes his tunic and he places it beneath the head of the soldier. And he pillows his head. Then he takes his canteen and he opens the lid of it. And he slightly raises him to give him as much water as he can drink. It's been watched, witnessed by both sides. He closes the canteen and he walks back to his lines. Not a shot is fired. In a similar sense, there is good versus evil. We are waging war against the forces of wickedness. And there are those that are wounded by sin. And they are thirsting. They are thirsting for God. They are dying in sin. And they need the water of life. But who will go? Who will take it to them? Do you remember on the cross? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I thirst. He who has taken the sinner's place, who has borne the heat of hell for us, he died that we might live. There is a fountain opened for sinners. David was in a hard place. David was discouraged. He was feeling low because of Absalom. How many today are feeling depressed because of a wayward son or a wayward daughter? And you, like David, are crying unto God that they might drink from the fountainhead. There is hope in this passage, and I want to finish with that. Look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. There is a deep sense of faith and hope in these words. David was trusting in one who is mighty to deliver. David was hoping. How often we have heard the words that the Queen uttered during COVID, we'll meet again. How often in recent days we have heard that. That was an expression of hope, of better times. Here's an expression of hope. What is David saying? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. who is the health of my countenance and my God. As we come before God tonight, there should be hope in our hearts. We have a God who can give to the vilest offender the waters of life. May we pray that God will take it to them. And may we pray that God will help us like that Yankee captain to bring to them the water of life. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. As we get down to prayer tonight, I want to thank your minister for the invitation to come and to bring forth this message from the Lord. I do trust and pray that it has been a message profitable to your hearts and to your souls. And I trust that we, like David, as the hart may pant after the water brook, so panteth our soul after our God. You know the prayer requests, you know the things that need to be brought before the Lord. Remember the lost, especially if you have loved ones. Do pray for them particularly. Pray for them individually. Pray that God will save them. He's well able. He's well able to save. For years, just for your encouragement, my father and brother were out of Christ. Probably just over 10 years ago, my dad in a mission in Malvern Free Presbyterian Church came to faith and trust in Christ. And just a month or two ago, my brother who has cancer, who had been long prayed for, came to faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God is able. We have to believe. I say to you tonight, brethren and sisters, keep on believing. Keep on believing. Let's get down to prayer. Eternal God and our Father who art in heaven, how we thank thee today for the wonderful ministry of thy word and for its encouragement to our hearts. What a faithful God we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend. We pray as we come before thee that we will cast aside our reservations, cast aside our weakness, and whether it is only but to raise that word of thanks to God for saving our souls, and a quick amen, that's a victory. Lord, give us the victory tonight. Hear us and answer our prayer. Lead us forth in prayer in the time that remains, and give us the wisdom and the grace to know when to conclude the service, for Jesus' sake.